In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. We love our rituals and our traditions, don't we? We all have them. They're comforting. Their familiarity brings us a sense of serenity and comfort. Sometimes they might even make us a little bit nostalgic. Rituals like picking out the Christmas tree as a family or putting it up on a specific day every year. Maybe it's the ritual of how you celebrate birthdays or the ritual of reading to your child every night at bedtime. Point is, there's a ton of rituals and traditions that warm our hearts at the mere remembrance of them. We Episcopalians have similar feelings about our rituals and traditions in our worship, too. And for many, it makes worship more personal, more intimate, like bowing your head at the name of Jesus or crossing ourselves at various points in the liturgy, reverencing the altar as you enter the church, or bowing as the cross leads the procession into the church, or acknowledging the incarnation during the Nicene Creed. And while our traditions are meaningful and they help as an aspect of our liturgy, we have to be very careful, because it's very easy to start worshiping the ritual and not God. I'll give you an example of what I'm talking about. When I was in seminary in Alexandria, Virginia, I did my field work at St. Mary's Foggy Bottom, which is actually an area in downtown D.C. It's right up from the State Department and across the street from George Washington Hospital. It was an African-American Anglo-Catholic church, which meant that the liturgy was high, really high. I'm talking nosebleed high. The gospel was chanted. The Nicene Creed was chanted. The Eucharistic prayer was chanted. There was bells and smells every time they opened the door. And I gotta be honest with you, as somebody who loves liturgy and ritual, I thought I had died and gone to heaven. I loved the ritual of Anglo-Catholic church. But there was one ritual that I hadn't done yet, and I couldn't wait. I just couldn't wait to participate in it. On Good Friday, it was the custom of that parish for the clergy to go out into the middle of the church and prostrate themselves in the aisle facing the altar. Do you know what I mean when I say prostrate? You know, you do this on the floor? I'd always wanted to do that. I thought it looked so holy. And then the day came. I had my black cassock on. I was ready to experience this ritual I had been waiting to do for so long. At the appointed time, I took my place among the other clergy, and all together at the same time, we lay prostrate on the floor. And then I waited. I waited for the glory of this experience, the power of this ritual, to flood over me as I offered myself to God in the most humble of ways. And then I waited some more. Waited a little while longer. But there wasn't anything happening in the humbling department. Instead, all I could think of was, what is my black cassock gonna look like, and what's it gonna be covered up with when I stand up? Do I brush it off, or do I leave the dirt on? How do I get up in a ladylike fashion? Those were the humbling thoughts going through my head. And that day I came to see that I was only focusing on the ritual, the external experience of worship, and not on the internal experience of my faith. That's what happened this morning with the Pharisees. They were the religious, ethical police of their day. On the outside, they were the epitome of religious respectability. They knew every jot and tittle of Torah law, both the written Torah law given to them by Moses from God, and the oral Torah tradition, which were the laws that the rabbis had laid over the written laws of God hundreds of years ago. These rituals defined who they were as a people, and following them was how they kept themselves in check with their faith. It was how they ensured themselves they were living their lives in purity and holiness. Problem was, after so many years of doing this, the written Torah laws of God and the oral Torah traditions of man had become so intertwined that the Pharisees could no longer tell the difference between a God-given law and a man-made tradition. And it's one of these man-made traditions that they're judging the disciples on this morning, eating with defiled hands. In other words, the disciples didn't wash their hands before they ate. So by eating with defiled hands, they were breaking the oral tradition. And the Pharisees waste no time in pointing out to Jesus that his disciples aren't living up to the Pharisees' traditions. Well, in return, Jesus wastes no time in calling them a bunch of hypocrites. He reminds them that they've abandoned God's commandments in order to observe human traditions. And he quotes Isaiah to remind them of just how far off the mark they've gone. You're worshiping with your lips, but your heart isn't in it. You've abandoned the commandment of God and you hold to human tradition. And while I'm at it, Jesus continues, let me also remind you that defilement that you keep talking about works from the inside out, not the outside in. It doesn't matter what goes into the body. You can eat what you want. You can wash your hands before you eat or not. It doesn't matter. That's not what defiles a person. Then Jesus names the heavy hitters of defilement: theft, murder, fornication, deceit, adultery, envy, slander, pride. All of these things come from within, and that's what defiles a person. Jesus was trying to offer the Pharisees freedom from all their laborious external laws and rituals so that they could believe in their hearts and not just in their heads. But they couldn't hear it or accept it. They had taken their love of ritual and tradition too far. And they had become a people who would rather be right than redeemed. They couldn't see that it was their own heart that was defiled. I guess if we're gonna be honest with ourselves, we're going to have to admit that we all have a little Pharisee in us, don't we? We all have our jots and tittles that we prescribe to. We all have those times when we'd much rather be right than redeemed. We all have those times when it's more comfortable to conform to the letter of a ritual than to the spirit in which it was intended. But Jesus is telling us that's no way to live, because if we are living that way, we're ignoring the law that God has already written in our hearts. And it's in our hearts where God's love and grace abides. As I learned in seminary, God's not real interested in our man-made rituals that we think are going to make us holy. They are, of course, important in and of themselves, but they don't make you holy. But God is interested in how we live our faith from our hearts, how we care for one another, not ignore or abandon one another, how we love one another, not despise one another, and how we forgive one another, not hold grudges with one another. In the eyes of God, these are the things that will make us holy. And it's these things through which people will know us as Christians. In the world we live in today, I think this to be a very timely reminder to us all of how we're called to live. And I pray that God will give us the strength and wisdom to live our faith from the inside out. Amen.